hated this, Sarah. He would never have understood.
I know.
He would have told you you can't do it.
Probably.
He would have stopped you.
Nope.
He would have.
Not a chance.
Well, he would have tried.
Welcome to the Pioneer Theater Podcast. I'm Matthew Ivan Bennett. Second up in this year's play-by-play reading series, we have a futurist piece called I. That's the lowercase letter I. It'll be read this Friday, January 27th at 7:30, and at 2 p.m. and 7:30 on the 28th at the Utah Museum of Fine Arts. Unlike other plays about grief and relationships, this one opens with a woman in a doctor's office about to undergo a frightening and life-changing sci-fi procedure. That's about all I can say because so much in the play is meant to be a surprise. But here's me and playwright Jeff Talbot with more.
What made you want to write this?
I had put in my files, you know, you have an idea file, I bet, right? I had put in my files a couple of years ago in our article that I read about a scientific procedure that is being done on mice currently that seemed really odd to me. And I don't really want to talk too much about what the procedure is, but it seemed that its implications for practice on humanity were sketchy at best. But I filed it away because I didn't know what to do with it. And every once in a while I would pull it out of my file when I was getting ready to start writing something, but I honestly didn't know what to do about it. And I was between plays and getting ready to write something new, and I pulled it out and I thought, well, I still don't know what this is, but I wrote the first scene of the play just based on what I knew from reading that article.
Is that often how it works for you? You get an image in your head, like a woman in a doctor's office, and then start writing?
Yes. I usually don't start with a plot idea. I usually have an image. Like I have another play that started with just seeing a woman and her and two mothers on a park bench. That was all I saw, and then let it radiate from whatever that image is. I mean, sometimes I know usually what gets me to the keyboard is a need to understand something that I don't understand. In the case of this play, I sat down to write that first scene, but what I was really trying to figure out was how people cope with sadness. And that didn't really make itself clear to me until I was on about page 40 or 50 of the play. And I realized, as two of the characters were talking, that that was what the play was about. And then went back and folded that into everything that I was finding out.
How does I fit into your body of work and that theme of coping with sadness?
I'm an odd writer because my plays tend to be very different from each other. I think they're kind of recognizably in my voice. Like I write dialogue in a pretty particular way, but the plays are incredibly different from each other. Content really dictates form to me. And this play is very different from a lot of my plays. This play is quiet in a way. A lot of my plays have a lot of very explosive language. This play has a lot of quiet around it. I also find the older I get and the farther I get along, this is my eighth play, that my need for a lot of dialogue lessens the more I write. I don't think that separates me from a lot of writers, but I really get more and more curious about what happens when people are not talking now, and this play has a lot in it that is kind of unsettling on a quiet level, and I learned a lot writing this play and applied those lessons to other things that I'm working on.
Well, on the subject of images over dialogue, there was an image when I first read this that grabbed me right away, and it was in the set description. You said, if there is a tree, it was placed there, not grown there.
Yeah, because the play takes place a little forward in time. I don't say when, but the play does take place a little forward in time. Every time I got ready to describe a location, I tried to be very careful about that and also open about it so somebody could, a designer and a director, could decide what that means to them. So in the case of that particular stage direction, I knew I wanted this outdoor location. I kind of knew what I wanted to have happen in the scene, but I didn't know how to describe the scene any other way, because I don't actually know what that would look like. But I think that a designer and a director, a stage direction like the tree was placed there, not grown there, would mean something to them, and I'm really curious about what that is. I love interpretation. I've seen a lot of productions of my play The Submission, and they're like wildly different from each other, and I really enjoy that for the most part.
You gave another interview about I, and you said that you always knew the beginning and the end, but everything in the middle surprised you. How do you deal with surprises as a writer, and how did the surprises inform the form?
Yeah, it's my favorite part of writing, being in the middle of a writing session and having something happen that I didn't anticipate. And this play in particular, once I understood what the play wanted to be about, I knew how it needed to end. But when I got into the meat of the middle of it, the middle of the play grew and grew and grew in ways that I was very surprised by, because the play is really a love story. It's just there are trappings around it. There are sci-fi, a kind of sci-fi trappings around it. There's a kind of a futuristic thing around it. But really, it's almost a two-hander, a love story about these people. And everything about their relationship surprised me. And some of it, you know, some of it came from things I know about my life or lives of people around me. But their relationship was so particular to them that every time I learned something new about them, it completely changed the way I was structuring the rest of the play. And in fact, we're in the middle of, we just had our first day of rehearsal, an entire scene that is not about them is a brand new scene as of today, because what I found out yesterday is information about the two of them that I had learned about the two of them wasn't operating in that scene. And that was something that I didn't know until I heard it out loud yesterday, and that was a surprise. And sent me home, and I spent like 3 hours last night writing a new scene. It was amazing. It was great. I'm mostly interested in making sure that these two people are accurate, and that these two people are stumbling towards each other in a way that is moving to me or recognizable to me, in the hopes that that's true for everybody else.
Jeff, looking forward to it.
Thank you.
You're the best.
Thank you for listening to the Pioneer Theater Podcast for I, second up in this year's play-by-play. For tickets, call 801-581-6961. The play-by-play series is supported by the Byerly Endowment, and for I specifically, Dr. Linda Leckman. You can find this podcast on our website, pioneertheater.org. If you have any questions or comments, please email us at marketing@ptc.utah.edu.